Well, Merry Christmas to you all. My name is Kevin Johnson. I'm pastor here at Macedonia United Methodist Church. It is indeed a joy to welcome you to this service tonight. Like Keith said, we do welcome you, and if you're someone who's visiting with family, welcome. If you're a longtime member and here every Sunday, welcome. If you're a longtime member and not here every Sunday, welcome. If you're checking out a church and just found somewhere nearby on Christmas Eve, we welcome you. And indeed, it is a joy to welcome you into this service of worship, as this is one of my favorite ones of the year. I don't know how it cannot be. But together, as we hear the story of Christ coming once again, as we partake of Holy Communion together, and then as we see the light of Christ vibrantly shine in this place, I know it will be not only meaningful for you, but hopefully something that where the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart in a powerful way this night. Luke 2 is where we find ourselves this night, as we do on many, many Christmases. And so I share these words with you. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city, called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the guest room. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ, the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel, praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what they had been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have been in a series throughout Advent that culminates tonight, and that is one called Actual Good News. Actual Good News. And through it, we've been exploring how these texts that we've read during Advent of prophets and things like that sometimes don't feel like good news. And so what we see is the hope of Christ in them and how God meets us. I don't know about you, but I just want to hear some good news. Now, I think we have some methods today for finding some good news or hearing some good news. One of those is that we fool ourselves. So we turn on the TV to something like the Today Show, for those of you who still turn on TVs to shows that happen at some time. And you might turn on the Today Show and you find there a human interest story, something that reminds us that maybe somewhere there are good people doing something good for someone else in the world, right? So we fool ourselves, or we escape. A lot of us do this through seeing a movie or reading a book. especially one that has a happy ending. And what we realize, the stuff out there today that is critically acclaimed, whether movies or TV series, often are like really dark. And I find myself saying, like, life's bad enough. Like, do I really need to read something or watch something that is that dark? Like, I understand it's smart and everything like that, but I don't want to be sad or scared at the end of what I'm watching, right? And so we escape through happy things sometimes. Another way that we find good news is by living vicariously through someone else, right? Sometimes we do this on Facebook or Instagram. We like the status that shows our friends in Tahiti, right? Like, we like it, but seriously, secretly, we're really jealous of them. And then the more that we look at their pictures, not just from Tahiti, but when they're in Fiji the few months before that, and then they're so beautiful and tan and everything like that all the time, and you're wondering, why do they have the money to go to Tahiti and Fiji and everything like that? And so we're jealous of them. And then also, we also feel a sense of depression the more we look down that feed and scroll down it further. Another way that we might hear good news is what I call a zero-sum game. It's where you go and check out your preferred political persuasion website or your preferred TV station, whichever side that happens to be on. And the good news that you find is that the other side has bad news. That's the good news, is that the other side is bad. Friends, it seems like the only time that we actually hear good news today happens around times of deep tragedy. When, like, there's a natural disaster that happens or a mass shooting and we see people rally together, we see communities come together. We ourselves as a church give money to things like this. Even tonight, your offering goes towards the North Carolina storm response with our United Methodist Committee on Relief, right? So we see people rally around these terrible things that happen, and I think it's a shame that terrible things have to happen in our world for us to hear some actual good news. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you that this baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago is actual good news that can ring true for us even today. So I ask this question, why is Jesus' birth then actual good news? Well, I think we see it in the angel's announcement to the shepherds, right? First of all, we have a Savior. The angels say, your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord, your Savior. And what that implies when we say that we have a Savior is that we need saving. We have no way to make our relationship with God right. We have no amount of work that we can do to fix it. I mean, from their very beginning, the Jewish people knew that they needed saving, right? A whole sacrificial system developed and was given to them to cover and atone for the sins that they would willfully and unwillfully commit. God is holy. Something has to be done to make this relationship between God and humans right. And what the angels announce is your Savior. You have a Savior. The second piece of good news in that announcement is that this Savior who comes is for all people. This good news is for all people. The angel said, don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. The good news is not just for Israel anymore. Rather, God is opening up relationship with the entire world. God made a promise to Abraham early in the Bible. He made a promise to him that he would use this family that will become known as Israel, to bless the entire world. And that's what's happening here. All people, all of us here who are not Jewish by descent, which is probably most of us, are now included in this promise of God. And another reason why this birth of Jesus is good news to us is how God comes to us. How he comes to us. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly lying in a manger. The shepherds, y'all, they didn't have a star to follow. That wasn't part of the deal yet. Their only sign was to go into town and find somewhere a baby in a manger, a baby in a feeding trough. God comes to us in such unique and amazing ways throughout this entire journey of the Christmas story. Think of the scandals that exist in this story. First, in the announcement to Mary and Joseph that she's going to have a baby, that the Father is God, that this baby is out of wedlock in a culture that is not going to allow for that or look highly upon that at all. The scandal of Joseph staying with her and not putting her away like he might have thought to do. There's the scandal of the poverty of this child being born in a manger. Friends, think about it. This is God himself coming into the world and yet dwelling in not just a baby's body, but a poor baby's body. A baby's body who was there because, who was born in that town because they had to go and report for the census to pay their taxes. This baby could have been born in a palace, but instead in this humble manger. And then the scandal that the shepherds are the first ones to find out about this. Shepherds were not a high looked upon level rung of society in this time. Shepherds were not only stinky, but they were often accused of grazing on everyone else's land and having their sheep there. Shepherds were not the upper crust of society. In fact, they were quite the opposite. And yet it is the shepherds who are the first to know. I think God does something like that intentionally. Friends, what we see in scandal after scandal is that our God is not impersonal. Rather, God has character, God has personality, and God chooses to make himself known to us in this way. Through this story is how God introduces his son to the entire world. Friends, this birth really is good news. We know that. That's why you're here. That's why your aunt and your grandma dragged you here, because it is good news. We know it. We know it is important to us. But my question tonight is Jesus' birth actual good news for you? Is it good news for you? You don't have to fool yourself or escape or live vicariously, or enter in the zero-sum type of game for this to be good news. The shepherd's response back to the angel, and then when they go and see this baby, and then when they leave them, show that this is good news indeed for the shepherds. Because for the shepherds on this night, they had one response. They glorified and praised God. I mean, picture them. Picture them right after they see the angels, and then after somehow the angels disappear into heaven. They have to be pinching themselves, right? And saying, oh my God, did that really happen? Let's go find this baby. We have to. And then they're talking along the way to each other, wondering if this was real. And then they find him, just as the angel said. I don't know if it was the first manger they looked at or the 17th manger they looked at, but somewhere in one of those mangers was a little baby lying snugly, just as the angels had said. And when they leave, after they announced to everyone there what has been told them about this baby, another translation says that they let loose and praise God. They let loose and praise God. And spread the good news to everyone. Have you ever praised God because of God's gift for you? Like, have you ever fell apart because of it? Have you ever been amazed at the depth of God's love for you? Have you ever just let loose and praised God? Now, I know this is not a Pentecostal church tonight, all right? Because I got this on, right? So I'm not supposed to let loose before you. But what I'm telling you is that this news is so good. It is so good that if you've never just fallen on your knees before God or been forced to tears because of the depth of God's love for you, then I'm not sure if you really get the depth of God's love and how this is actual good news for you. The carol that we sing, Joy to the World, that second verse says, Joy to the earth. The Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ. Well, fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, right? And you've probably just sung the words, but what that is saying is that if we don't let loose, heck, the fields are going to. The rocks are going to cry out, is what the scripture says. Everything is going to let loose and praise God for this gift. You see, when we hear actual good news, we have to let loose. We cannot hold it in. My oldest daughter, Adelaide, is 4 3/4, she will tell you. And while on a trip to Chicago at Thanksgiving time, at a little zoo, we had to find our way to the gift shop. And parents hate gift shops. And while there, she found this little water game that she wanted. It looked like a bad old Game Boy, and you press the buttons and the little things shoot up inside the, right? And we didn't let her get it that day, which resulted in, you know, great havoc in my household. But we said, maybe you can ask Santa for it. And so every time she filled out her letter to Santa and everything like that, she was asking for the water game, right? And a couple weeks ago, we had a party at a neighbor's house, and Santa made an early appearance at this party. And lots of kids there and everything like that. And she goes up to Santa and sits on his lap, tells him that I want a water game. And Santa said, yeah, all right, a water game. And then later on, each of the kids there got a gift because Santa was, he's dropping them off early as part of his practice there. And from across the room, I see my daughter sitting after she gets her name called and Santa calls her gift. And she sits there and she opens it. And there is the water game. And she screams across the room, Mommy, Daddy, he gave me the water game. He remembered. It's just what I asked for. It was magical. She let loose in that place. I'd show you the video if I had the capability right now, because you know I was filming that moment. That's what happens when it's good news for us. And my friends, this is more than a $5 water game, all right? So why isn't this good news for us that makes us let loose? Do we think that we don't need a Savior? Probably not most of us. I don't think we think like that. Maybe we think we aren't worthy of a Savior. That probably describes a lot more of our predicaments. Or are we so self-sufficient or so busy or so driven or so entertainment-starved that we can't see good news that is looking us right in the eye, that God has come to be with us and to save us, that God loves us that much? Maybe we're not sure that it's good news. Maybe we think that it's not very logical, that this religion thing is a nice fairy tale or something like that. Maybe you don't think it's good news because we've gotten so cynical that maybe there's not good news at all anymore, that everyone is just out to get their own and that there's no such thing as people looking out for one another, that God would come and send his son and give his life for all of us. Every year on Christmas Eve, my family, after attending one or two worship services, depending on if we had to sing in the choir that night, we would gather with our parents by the tree, either right before or after a lot of the presents had been put out for our family. And we were so excited about the presents and about putting out the cookies and doing the whole deal, but we would stop and we would remember what it was all about. And my dad would pull out his 3 yellowed legal pad pages that had the Christmas story, which scriptures we were to read on them, which songs we would sing in response like we did every year. And in that moment, I realized, as I continued to grow, that this was why we were doing all of this. That moment stands and rings clearer to me than anything I ever received on Christmas, than any other moments like that. And so now, tomorrow morning, when we're with our kids, we'll pause at some time that morning, and we made a coffee cake, same recipe my mom would make, because that's how these things work. And we're going to put one candle in it. You could put like a sideways eight, I guess, in it to stand for infinity. And we're going to sing happy birthday to Jesus. Because in that moment, what we are recalling is that the reason why all of this exists, the reason why we gather for Christmas, the reason why we celebrate as family, is because of that actual good news. Friends, we teach and practice what is good news to us on Christmas. We teach and we practice what is actual good news to us on Christmas. So as you gather with family and friends, may you participate in this actual good news. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, I pray that in these moments that we would examine if we have ever let loose before you. God, if we have ever been so taken aback by your love that we could not help but respond in praise and adoration. God, that maybe even leads us to clap or to dance or to kneel or to fall on our face flat before you in awe. God, I pray that in these moments, if we never have let loose before you, if we've never felt compelled, God, I pray that all of us, every single one of us in this room, would know the depth of love that you have for us. A depth of love that doesn't even hesitate to give your son on our behalf. So Lord, let us know that love. And God, I pray that if we have not known it, God, I pray that anyone here would find an opportunity to welcome you in. To welcome you into their lives, to respond to this love that knows no boundaries, this love that does not care what they have done. For God, you knew all of that when you came to this earth. You knew what we had already done. You knew how humans were. And yet you love us anyway. So God, help us tonight to be people of actual good news. Not good news of sentimentality, not good news of avoidance or escaping, but of actual real good news. That indeed a Savior has been born who is Christ the Lord. And it is wonderful, joyous news for all people, including us. Amen.